Yeah, it was amazing, and I that just, hey, you. But I also have a golden retriever, and he's going to help me on this call.
Okay.
Taking very good care of mommy.
Okay, ladies, I am back, and the call is being recorded. So I'd just like to say good evening and welcome to this month's NABBW teleconference that always tries to empower and educate midlife women. I'd first like to give you a little information about how the call will work this evening, and then we'll do some introductions and get started. For those of you who have not been on any of these calls in the past, I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the 6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises. Okay, we'll hear a bunch of beeps. And then at the end of our interview, we'll have time for a few questions and answers. At that time, you'll simply hit the 6 number again, and we'll be able to hear you. Okay, so I'm going to interview Regina Leeds and then open the lines for a few questions, and that's how it'll work. So let's get started. First, I am Dotsie Bragel, founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and the number one site on all search engines for baby boomer women, which is www.boomerwomenspeak.com. I'm passionate about educating and empowering midlife women. Since launching Boomer Women Speak several years ago, I have been connecting, encouraging, and supporting boomer women on a daily basis. I dedicate a great portion of my time creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live life to the fullest.
David DRD, please come to the nurse's station. David DRD, please come to the nurse's station.
The last person that just came on the line, would you be kind enough to press 6 so that we can mute all background noises? Thank you. My prayer is to embrace all women and provide them with a means to soar. So on a personal note, I was interested in speaking with Regina because I enjoy reading her monthly columns as she sends them along to be published at the NABBW. I also have high hopes of getting my home organized before Thanksgiving when all the kids return home for a brief period of time. So I'm all ears this evening, Regina, and I'm really hoping to gain some great information about getting my life organized. I feel like it's time now that all kids are gone and I'm in an empty nest, so I think it's a good time to turn over a new leaf. So anyway, our guest this evening is Regina Leeds, and she is a native of New York City, and she has brought order to home and work environments across the United States since January of 1988. That's almost 10 years, when she started her company, Get Organized by Regina. All callers, please be kind enough to press 6 so that all background noises are muted. Thanks. She is currently based in L.A., and her clientele runs the gamut from movie stars to business people and homemakers. She has written a couple books. One is The Zen of Organizing, Creating Order and Peace in Your Home, Career, and Life. And the other book is Creating a Place Without Losing Your Space, and that's A Couple's Guide to Blending Homes, Lives, and Clutter. Both books are published by Alpha Books, and I'm excited to share that her next book is going to be The Idiot's Guide to Decluttering, and that will be published in May of 2007. So everybody, you'll hear more about that in upcoming NABBW newsletters, but I think it's going to be an exciting book to read. She is a regular contributor to Lime.com, that's LIME.com. That's the media branch of AOL co-founder Steve Case's company, Revolution. You can hear her organizing podcasts and one-minute tips each month on Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 114. And in addition, Regina is a regular contributor to the Jesse Dillon radio show on Sirius, Channel 114 also. A one-hour TV special called The Zen of Organizing was created for the Fine Living Cable Network in the spring of 2003, and it continues to air. Let's see. As far as magazines and newspapers and the Internet, The Zen Organizer has been featured in national magazines including Bon Appetit, Redbook, Delta Airlines, Shuttle Sheet, New Age Magazine, In Style, Women's World, TV Guide Canada, and the LA Magazine, among others. Let's see, LA Magazine named her the best organizer in LA. She's been featured in the home section of the LA Times and the Washington Post, and she was the resident expert for the Home and Garden Channel at iVillage.com for over 4 years. She's taught classes and delivered speeches on the art of Zen organizing to diverse groups around the country. And on a personal note, her first career was as a professional actress. She received a bachelor's degree in theater from Hunter College in Manhattan, and that helped make the transition to teacher and seminar leader an easy one. Her credits as a professional actress include national commercials, guest spots on TV, theater roles, and 3 happy years recurring on The Young and the Restless. I just think that's so exciting. So anyway, that's the background we have for you, Regina. That's quite a bio. And we're really happy to have you with us this evening. So welcome to the call. And you have anything you want to say before you get started? And, you know, after you say a few words, I'll start asking some questions. Regina? Did we lose Regina? Hello?
Hear me?
Hi, Regina.
Yes, do you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I hear you.
You know, I had hit
You hit 6. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have told you last night that you weren't supposed to do that, so that's my problem. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Okay,
so but what did I do? All right, well, welcome to the call. You want to say a few words before I start asking you tons of questions?
No, I think I'm ready to just
You're
ask
ready
the
to
questions.
Get started.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've been a professional organizer for almost 10 years.
No, 18.
18,
88. 1988.
Oh, gosh, you're right. You know, I said 10, and it's almost 20. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm not the best mathematician.
So I won't ask you to do my taxes.
Yeah, please don't.
I became an organizer before anybody knew what it was. People used to look at me and say, What do you do? And I'd say, well, you know, I organize people, and they'd say, I don't understand. What does that mean? And then I would explain it, and they'd look at me, and they'd get this funny expression on their face, and they'd say, no, come on, seriously, people pay you for that. And then Oprah had, I'm going to draw a blank on her name, but Oprah has her own organizer, and Julie Morgenstern. And once Julie appeared on Oprah, then that kind of put professional organizing on the map.
Oh, then, good.
Yeah, and then after that, people had a better idea of what we do. And now, you know, when I was an actress, we used to complain that everybody thought they were an actress and a writer, and that it was easy. And now I find that everybody thinks they're an organizer. So, you know, there
well,
you are.
How did you get started? Like, what caused the career change? Were you always a very organized person?
Yes, I was very organized when I was a little kid. I would take all the toys out of my toy chest every week, and I just loved arranging them. And I can see that, you know, living room and dining room actually in Brooklyn, and my mom's reading the paper, and she would always say to me, sweetheart, what are you doing? And I'd say, oh, Mommy, I'm arranging my toy chest. And she'd say, well, you just did that. And I'd say, I know, Mommy, but I can't play with things unless the boxes are edge to edge. What I was looking for was a modicum of control in my life, obviously. But there's a peace and a calm that comes when you know where everything is and you do have control of your environment. I tell people that you want to have control of your environment, but you don't want to use organizing as a weapon against other people so that, you know, you can be tyrannical and use your desire to be organized to punish them. So you have to have a balance, but it makes your life easier, and then you can set about doing whatever it is you want or need to do in life without getting engaged in dramas like, oh, well, where are my keys and why can't I find that receipt, and you know,
right.
All of that just takes you away from what you really want to be doing.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us your definition of the Zen of organizing?
I can, and I did you ask me how I got started in this? You know, I have to
I did, and you said that, you know, I asked, were you always organized.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And, yeah.
All right. It's sort of amusing. I just want to add. Let me just say that I was just diagnosed about an hour ago with bronchitis, and I'm on medication, so I think I have foggy brain, so you may have to help me stay focused.
Okay, I'll help.
It's actually when I was an actress, I worked on a project with Jonathan Winters, and he said to me, he said, Regina, he said, I'm crazy, but I make $1 million a year because of it. You have to make your neuroses pay. And that was a very powerful thing to say. And for 10 years, I thought about that. You know, what am I neurotic at that anybody would pay me to do? I mean, was I neurotic? Of course, we're all neurotic. But, you know, what neuroses could I be paid for? And one day I can tell you where I was sitting. It was January, and I said, oh, my God, I know what I'm neurotic about that people would pay me to do, and that was, you know, helping others get organized. And I had a friend, I said to her, I want you to be my test client, and I charged her $10 an hour because people appreciate what they pay for. Nobody appreciates what they get for free.
Right.
And she was my test case because it's one thing to be organized, but it's another thing to organize somebody else and to teach them as you're doing it why you're doing what you're doing and how they can keep this up. You don't, a professional organizer, in my view, should not just go in and do it for you. They should, in effect, teach you how to do it. And the Zen of organizing, my slogan is inner peace through outer order. So to me, there's a spiritual element to getting organized, and that is the peace and calm and tranquility that it brings to your home. And that's why you invest the time and the energy. Because, you know, it can be fun, but there's also a part of it that's just hard work. And you have to make that commitment. And so knowing what's on the other side is your motivation.
Oh, and I love that. That's a real goal, because I think all of us need more peace and calm and tranquility in our lives. And I also love what Jonathan Winter said about you have to make your neuroses pay. I think I think that is so great. And that's a great way for people to consider to figure out what their passion is, which is something that I talk about a lot. So, okay, so you like to think about getting organized from the perspective of what the results are. And I love that. So is it possible to get anyone organized? And if so, how do you start?
You know, getting organized is a skill. It's really just like learning how to dance or learning a sport or anything like that. So your success level is commensurate with how much you're willing to learn and what your time commitment is. So can anyone learn to get organized? Yes, and their level of organization will be commensurate with their level of commitment. And that's...
So even procrastinators can get organized.
Absolutely. I mean, what you have to figure out is what is it that you're trying, what are you really trying to avoid? And very often it's a fear of success. You know, if I do this, then, oh boy, more will be asked of me. If I do this, what happens if I fail? And then everybody will know that I fail. I mean, you know, we carry around a lot of psychological debris, and the interesting thing for me is when I walk into somebody's environment, they're telling me their life story. It's not just, oh, I'm going to organize your closet today. A home is like a novel that unfolds for me. You are your environment. I say to people, you want to know, would you like to see what your mind looks like? Would you like to see your thought process? Then right now go open a closet door or open a drawer. And there it is. That's now some people say, oh my God, that's very depressing. And I say, no. See, here's the deal. In your environment, you are totally in charge. So whatever you have created up until now, it's just that. It's what you've created up until now. And you are totally free to put something better in its place. In your little world, you are the god of your environment. So You never have to. One shouldn't be afraid. One shouldn't run away from that. It's not really a responsibility. It's a great joy.
Okay.
You know, I think everybody should open the door at night and just breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, my gosh, I'm home.
Mm-hmm.
And just feel nurtured and loved and supported. And in the great art of feng shui, that's what your space wants to do. Your physical space wants to help you. And when I teach my class, I say, well, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that everybody is already organized. Really. Not only is everybody on this call already organized, but you have a system that you work with the zealotry of, a religious zealot. And then there's the bad news. And the bad news is that some of those systems that you're working with great fervor set you up to make everything you do more difficult rather than to do it with ease. For instance, the person who refuses to put their keys in one spot the minute they come in the door is perpetually consumed with the where are my keys drama, which is probably the most common drama in every home. And what people don't realize is, well, you are expending energy that might go into something that you really want to do and you're afraid. You know, I have great stories in the Zen of Organizing. When I wrote the Zen of Organizing, nobody was doing psychological profiles, and they were writing these how-to books that were do this, do this, do this, and then do that, do that, do that. And I used to say, I can't read these books, and I'm an organizer. They're just too left-brained and too dry. So I put in lots of stories. And one of my very favorite stories that illustrates all this is I was giving a talk one night, and the way it worked, I was in the room with a feng shui master, and people were allowed to come in and they would ask us a question, and I would answer how to solve that question from an organizing perspective, and he would answer how to solve it from a feng shui perspective. And this very young, successful executive walked in, and she had two friends with her, and she said to me, well, every time I decide to give something away, inevitably, within 2 weeks, I need it. So what do you say about that? And I thought, whoa. And what I said to her was, well, as long as you hold that belief to be true, I would tell you not to get rid of anything, because you will create the need for it in 2 weeks. Absolutely. I mean, that's, mm-hmm. We are what we believe.
Right.
I said, but what fascinates me is where did that consciousness of loss come from? And I said, did anything happen in your childhood? And she swore to me that nothing did. And I said, oh, okay. So we just chatted for a minute, and out comes the story that when she was 5 years old, she went away for her first sleepover. And while she was away, her brother burned down the house.
Mm.
And I looked at her, and I just was stupefied. I said, no wonder you don't want to give anything away. I said, you came back to nothing. I said, that's very scarring. And I said, that's the fun part of organizing, to find out, why do I procrastinate? Why am I afraid of success? Why am I afraid of failing? All, that's the juice of it. And
wow, that is so interesting. And do you work at that with people when you get them organized? I mean, is it usually revealed? Is something usually revealed like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, usually.
Wow, that makes it so much more fun, I would think.
Oh, it is. Oh,
that's
it's
really
a lot of
cool.
fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
There are, from time to time, I mean, I'm working with somebody right now who happens to be very organized, and she wants to take it to the next level. She and her husband run a business together. She has her own business. They have two small children. They live here. They live in Europe. I mean, they have a very full, very busy life, and she really appreciates that the more streamlined her home is, the easier it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't really need to get into anything psychological. We've talked about our backgrounds, and we come from similar philosophical schools of belief, and
mm-hmm.
so I see where her order has come from. But No, oh, the average person. Oh, my God. It is. It's like reading a novel. It's so much fun.
Wow. Well, let me just ask. Let's try to get to some practical things so that the people that are listening can hang up and say, okay, now I know what to do. Now I know how to get started. If it's really difficult for one of our listeners, say someone who even may have ADD, because I would think that would be quite a client, how do you suggest they would get the ball rolling? Like, what are some tools and you know, what do you recommend to get started?
If you have a really, really, really difficult time getting started and this is something you want to do but you keep putting it off, then I would say I would take a week and I would just journal. And I would ask myself questions like, well, why do I want to get organized?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? Because your husband thinks you should, because your family criticizes you. That's not a reason to get organized. You have to do it for you. So why do you want to get organized? And you've probably gotten organized many times in your life, although actually what people usually do is they tidy up and put things away. But that's not a system. Being organized means that there's a place for everything and everything is in its place.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done, it looks beautiful, it's functional, and it's ready to take on more. So the other thing I would ask myself is now, all right, I've tried to get organized before. What did I learn from those attempts? How is now different from any other time in my life? And how will this attempt to get organized be different from any other attempt in the past? So that's the kind of any psychological question I would ask. And I would give yourself 5 minutes in the beginning for each question and just start writing. Just go.
Mm-hmm.
And my other advice is not to announce to the family that, you know, I was on this conference call and now I'm ready to get organized, because that's really setting yourself up. I would just do it. And then, you know, if you're in a good family structure, people change and they notice and they change. They work in concert with each other. So just allow people to say, wow, you know, there's something different going on here. It looks really nice. The other thing is set up good habits. And there are very simple little things that you can do every day. Now, they say it takes 21 consecutive days of repeating a pattern before it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm.
So I would pick no more than two things to start. Do them for 21 days, and when they are a part of you, you know, as a society, we don't get up in the morning and say, you know, today I'm not brushing my teeth, and I'm going out in the world with bed hair. I mean, that doesn't happen. We have certain things that we just do no matter what. So now you layer into your life, and these are my favorites. Do not leave dirty dishes in the sink. Do not leave clean dishes on the drain board. Now, those are two actions that you can repeat for 21 days. They go hand in hand, and boy, do they change the energy in the kitchen.
Oh,
the
boy.
The other is to take the garbage out every day from all the different garbage cans in the house. That's great. I think the two most important that you can do are, of course, to put your keys in the same place. Whether it's a hook by the door, mm-hmm. or a cup by the door, or, you know, I actually throw my keys on the floor. Right as the door opens, that's where I throw my keys. And it's really funny. It becomes a conversation piece. People come in and for the first time and they go, oh, you dropped your keys. And I say, no, that's where I want them. And then everybody tries to solve that for me. Well, no, see, you could do this or you could do that. And I just laugh. I watch people go and I say, you know what? One night, my dog had to go out, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and the door closed behind me, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no, I forgot my keys, because I was still half asleep. And I said, I could put them in a cup, I could put them on a hook, but for me, right there, as the door opens, the door brushes over them, and I go, right, got to take those keys. And my other favorite thing is This is so, so, so important. Make your bed every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a bed, you know, in today's world doesn't have to. My mother used to take the sheets off the bed. Everything came off the bed every day, and she made military corners. Well, you know, that's, who does that? Just have a quilt or a comforter and smooth it out. But you have to do that because otherwise the energy in your home is always lazy. It's always yesterday's energy is being dragged into today. There's no completion. It sets you up to be depressed. And so even if you took 3 weeks to journal every day for 5 minutes, and to see what you discover, so and to set two good habits in motion, what would happen is at the end of 3 weeks, you would be a different person. You would have built up your self-esteem. You would know that you can start and complete something. And the energy in your home would change. And I guarantee you, people in your home will notice. There was one lady at iVillage who said to me, okay, this is miraculous. She said, my husband cleared off the table. She said, I didn't say anything. And she said, I've been, you know, washing the dishes and putting them away every night. I used to leave them piled up in the sink. And she said, the other day he just said to me, you know, if you're going to wash the dishes every night, he said, the least I can do is clear the table. Now, the other thing I want to say is, remember before, so now you've done some journaling, and you understand why you're doing this. You're doing it for you, and you know why. And you know why now is different,
mm-hmm.
and you know what you learned from all past efforts. There is no such thing as failure. If there were such a thing as failure, there would be no inventions. That's how people learn. They do something, and they go, oh no, this doesn't quite work, and so they keep going. So that's the beauty in life. So now you're ready to begin.
Okay, and this is so interesting to me. I'm really learning a lot because I would have thought, you know, that you would have said, start making lists and, you know, just get yourself organized, thinking about what it is you want to organize and, you know, how you can go about it. I never would have thought that you would say journal or just pick two things. I mean, I'm pretty amazed. I think that's great.
Well, if somebody's ready to dive right in, they can dive right in. But very specifically, you asked me about the person who's had difficulty, the person who's put
right.
it off for years. So you have to, you know, before you can swim in the deep water, you got to learn how to float. You got to get in on the shallow end of the pool. And the only thing that's important is that you're in the pool.
Right.
So that's how you get in. And then you remember that the whole of anything is overwhelming. So you don't look at your house and say, oh, my God, I have to organize the whole house. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I have to take the whole kitchen apart. I mean, if you do that, then, you know, if I walk into somebody's house and I say, wow, this is 5,000 square feet and I have to do the whole thing, I'll lay down and take a nap. It's too much. So you make a list of, okay, if I were to organize my house, what projects would I need to do? You make a list of your projects, and then you prioritize them. And then you say, now you need at least 5 hours for a project. I don't really support, unless you're a woman at home with very small children under the age of 5, and they rule, you know, mm-hmm. they're going to take you along on their schedule, then you really need to, then you can work in 15-minute increments. But working in 15-minute increments, from my perspective, it postpones you having any resolution and seeing any change. And when you see that change, you are so jazzed. And then also after the first project, the fact that this part of your house works better and different than any other part, that also moves you forward and helps you. So the whole of anything is overwhelming. You're going to break your project down. You're going to break your projects down. You're going to prioritize them. You're just going to do one at a time. You're going to decide whether you want to do one every weekend, one a month, and you write it down in your planner or your calendar. Make a date with yourself to work on this project so that you honor it. You will get as much out of your projects as the respect that you put into it. And then use the magic formula, which will help you organize projects for work. It'll help you set up a file system. It'll help you plan a party. It'll help you do your closet. And the magic formula is...
That's what I was just going to ask. Tell us what the magic formula is.
You eliminate what you do not need in this area.
Oh, okay.
Now, that can mean, yes, it can mean, okay, this has to go in the trash. It might mean, oh, this has to go to another part of the house. It might mean, oh, here's an item that, oh, my gosh, my sister Irene, I meant to give this back to her, and I forgot, let me do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so however that is, you get the environment down to what absolutely belongs there. Now, the second step is to categorize. And as you are eliminating, you're simultaneously categorizing, because every time you pick up an object and you say, oh, no, this belongs here, then everything that's related to it will stay with it. And then the last part is to organize your categories, and that's where you might want to go to a store like the Container Store or Bed Bath & Beyond, or read a book like The Zen of Organizing, or watch something on TV and then get an idea, well, you know, how do people, what's the best way to organize a closet or a file system, or, you know, what's the 411? What do professional organizers know that perhaps I don't know? I mean, you know, there are little tips and tricks that we have, but the most important thing is to get the debris out.
Okay.
Now,
we have just about 10 more minutes of my asking you questions, then we're going to open it up to let other people ask questions. So I'm just curious to know if you have any advice for people who are organized, but they live with a big issue like a partner who is a pack rat or a control freak or something like that. What advice do you have for someone like that?
Well, the advice is, the first thing, remember that you can only take care of yourself. And what it helps to figure out in your journal is, out of all the people on planet Earth, why did I marry somebody who would put me in this position? What is it I need about this particular drama?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, especially, now we all say, oh, I'm such a pack rat. And truly being a pack rat is part of OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're living with somebody with that issue, the kindest thing you can remember is they do not have a choice. They're not saving all that stuff because they want to drive you crazy. It's a compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to, you know, get out of that, there's special therapy, there's a 12-step program, there are drugs. It's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, I used to say to the women at iVillage, you know, you can't change that person, but maybe what you can say is, look, we share an environment, and your stuff is preventing me from being able to have people over, preventing us from having people over. So how about this? You take a room, or, you know, if that's great if you have a house. If you don't have a house, you take some area, and in that area you can do, excuse me.
Sure.
Anything you want. But let's agree that in the common areas, this doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of when my kids were little. I always liked the first floor to be neat, you know, just picked up, as you would say. Not necessarily organized, but picked up. And their toys could be, you know, in the playroom in the basement or in their bedrooms or anything like that. But basically, I wanted to keep the first floor picked up because I definitely function better in a straightened environment.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what that reminds me of. I guess you just have to limit things to certain areas. But
I just want to say the other thing about couples is I say in my second book, sharing a place without losing your space.
Right.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm
that's all right.
So
do you have any water?
Are you? I've been drinking water.
Are you
okay?
Okay.
It's something that I call the three C's.
Mm-hmm.
You must be committed to the relationship and to making the environment work.
Mm-hmm.
You must communicate about it and not assume. And then you must compromise.
Mm-hmm. Very good. That's great advice for any marriage on any subject, actually. Isn't it? That's great. Committed, communicate, and compromise. Very good. Very good.
Commitment, yeah. Communication, and compromise.
Right. Very good. Now, I just wonder, is there anything, and I guess the answer is probably no, but I'm just curious, is there anything generational about being organized and being a pack rat? And the reason I say that is my parents' generation, lived through the Depression. And my mom had a hard time getting rid of things, and I think it's because they went through a period of time when they didn't have much and they didn't know if they were ever going to have much.
And
does that, I know it's not all, I know it's not true of all people in the greatest generation, but I would think that it may have been harder for that generation to, let go of things.
It is generational.
It is. Oh. Hmm.
And it's very typical of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
There are all Wait a minute.
Take your time. Go ahead and take your time. For those of you who don't know, Regina just got back from China, and on the flight home, there were lots of sick people, and she came home and basically spent 3 days in bed and went back to the doctor today, and she has bronchitis. So I really wasn't even sure if she'd be able to do the call, and I'm just really grateful, but now I feel quite bad that you are doing it, Regina. So we're willing to wait for her while she coughs and catches her breath and clears her throat. So we'll just be patient.
Okay, I had a little cough syrup.
Okay. Just take your time. Right. I explained what's going on for those who didn't know about your bronchitis, et cetera. So just take your time, and we're here when you're ready.
Okay, let's try and continue. Go ahead. This is a first for me. I've never been sick when I worked before.
I'm sorry. I feel like we probably should have postponed the call to another night, because 45 minutes of straight talking is an awful lot.
Let me see if I can go on, and if not, then I'll do questions.
Okay, sure.
On another night.
Okay, all righty. We'll just give you a couple minutes, and you just go ahead.
God, I haven't had bronchitis in years.
Yeah. And I think all this talking has just made it worse in this quick 45 minutes. So if you want to continue on another night and we can do questions and answers, we could do it on the call. We could have people email me their questions, and I could send them your answers. We can do it any way you like.
I'm so sorry. This is very painful.
Okay.
I don't think I can continue.
Okay,
Regina. So sorry.
Don't you worry about it. I'll tell you what. Why don't you hang up, and we'll all say a prayer for you that you can feel better quickly, and that your throat will not be so agitated. And what I'll do is I'll let people ask me questions. I'll just stay on the call. They can ask me the questions. I'll write them down, and then I can email them to you, and we can get back to the people on the call with the answers. How's that?
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay. Why don't you hang up and go take care of yourself? And thank you so much for giving us this information. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so sorry, and I'll answer everybody's questions, I promise.
I know you will. So take care of yourself, and thanks
Dusty.
So much. Okay.
Okay, bye.
I'm so sorry. All righty, bye-bye. Okay, ladies, I'm really sorry, and gosh, I feel quite bad that she decided to do this. Because I knew last night when I spoke with her, she wasn't well, but she wanted to do it. She thought she could talk for an hour; it wouldn't be a problem. So I think this is the first time in a long time that she's been this sick. So what I would like to do is just see if anyone has any questions. And what I'll do is I'll write them down and I'll email them to her and we can get back to you. So in order for me to hear you, I need for you to press 6 and then go ahead and ask your question. So does anybody have a question?
I have one, Dottie, about
sure.
Memories.
I'm sorry?
I have one about memories.
Okay, memories. Okay, go ahead.
Like, what's a good way to approach like piles of things that where memories are involved, and so it's a matter of going more in, like she was saying, you know, that certain energy from yesterday could invade today, like if you don't make your bed or whatever.
Right.
Well, what about a huge wave of things that are from a long time ago?
Sure.
That could invade your present life now, you know, and so how to approach that, so...
Okay, and
you know, is there something besides just tossing everything and saying, okay, I'm getting on with my life, or is there a way of making a connection between the old and the new?
Okay.
In terms of the organization.
All right, I think I've got you. I've got an attic of stuff, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And I avoid getting it organized because it's all the stuff from my childhood that was in my parents' attic.
Yeah.
So making connections with the past and now, is that what you were saying?
Yeah, and how to go into the future.
Okay.
With, like, respecting the past or something like
okay.
that.
Okay, and do you want to tell me your name and email address?
Christine Sotmary. It's Sotmary. Sotmary,
right.
Sotmary at gmail.com.
Okay, at gmail.com. Okay, great. I'll send this question to her, and then either I'll be back in touch or she will.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Oh, good dog.
If anybody else has a question and they just want to push 6, and then I can take that question and get a response from Regina for you.
I don't have a question, Dotsie, but I want to talk to Regina. I would like to talk to her maybe via email more about her statement about being a pack rat.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with the ODC.
OCD.
Diagnosis that it was so blanket. I disagree with that because mine stems from collecting antiques over the years.
Okay.
And I'm at a stage where I'm downsizing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to talk to her more about that and just maybe get more background or more information about it.
Yeah, maybe a better answer instead of, you know, getting help for your OCD kind of
right.
thing. Right.
I don't feel like I have that, you know, I don't, it's not that there's anything wrong with having that. I'm just saying from what I've read about it, I don't think I fall in that category.
But you are a pack rat.
Oh, I'm definitely a pack rat.
Okay.
Pack rat. Rat pack. One of those.
One of those.
but mine, you know, I don't think comes from just hoarding things.
Yeah, right.
Something in my past.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, and I know there is a difference because I know a woman who is a hoarder, and it is, it really is an illness. And,
yes, it is.
Yeah, and you kind of, there is not an empty space in her house. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But and she just hoards because things are on sale or you can't resist it or just have to have it and, you know, that kind of thing. So I agree. There's definitely a difference. Okay. All right. I'll get that through. And that's Georgia, right?
Right.
It's your accent that made me know who you were.
What accent?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else on the call have a question for Regina? I know a couple of people before the call were talking about procrastinating and prioritizing. You know, I can put a couple questions together about that for some of you. Are there any other questions?
If she has, like, you know, sometimes people say things like if you haven't worn it in a year.
Oh, sure, okay.
Like if she has, you know, some handy little things like that.
Okay, so any little tidbits.
Yeah.
Okay. For getting rid of things?
Yeah, because, you know, even, you know, I seem to collect, you know, like old computers and printers and things like that. So, you know, it's sometimes it's clothes, sometimes it's gear, you know, but just this feeling of, like, I wonder, it's just what she said about that woman who said, you know, I'll need it in 2 weeks, that, you know, things that I haven't literally used in 5 years, you know, to, you know, is there a rules, and then you go through your stuff, or, you know.
Right. And I can totally relate to that. I have a bread machine on the bottom shelf in the kitchen, and I haven't used it in years.
I had an ice cream maker. Like
that. And I'm just like, I would really like to get rid of it, but it was a gift from my parents, and, you know, it's just all that kind of stuff that makes me crazy.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's a good question. Okay, Tidbit, then actually maybe what I could get her to do is to publish that in her next article for the newsletter or something like that.
Great.
So I'll talk to her about that. And who is that?
Christine again.
It's Christine again. Okay, Christine. All right. Anybody else? Feel free to ask.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you tell me again what you say about the master formula? I didn't get it all. Eliminate what's not. Can you talk about those three things she said again, please?
Okay. Eliminate what you don't need in an area. And then it was to, I believe it was like categorize, like figure out what belongs there, categorize what is there, and then organize your categories. And that's just from my sloppy notes. So if anybody else has any other information or if you have different notes and you want to speak up, feel free to. Okay, so what I could do is get her to tell us the magic formula.
Yes,
like in her,
okay,
and who is this?
My name is Francesca.
Okay, and do you want to give me your email address, Francesca?
Yes, okay, Francesca H. Davis.
Yeah, okay.
At yahoo.com.au.
Okay, all right. So are you calling from Australia?
Thank you so much for having me. I really need this help.
Okay, now, are you calling from Australia?
No, I'm calling from New York, but Australia set up my email.
Okay, because I know that's an Australia email, and I was like, oh, my gracious, but you're in New York. Okay,
all right,
so we'll get clarification on the magic formula.
Okay.
All righty, thank you. Anyone else have a question? Okay, I think, is that all the questions? Because if it is, we're going to...
Oh, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, because I muted and unmuted and it wasn't working.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I can hear you.
So I just wanted to thank you for having her on and everything, and it was very interesting. And when you told her the magic formula, that was my sloppy notes too, okay?
Oh, well, good. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. All right.
Listen, I hope to meet you sometime, Gotzi, and I am going to have to get off the line now.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being on the call. I appreciate
it.
Bye-bye. I
just one quick question.
Oh, sure.
Talk. Would you be doing this again? Would you be doing this often or what? These calls?
What we do for the people who are relatively new members is we do a monthly teleseminar, and the topics really vary because the members of the association vary. So some of them pertain to professional type seminars where we try to teach you about marketing a business online or, you know, just how to grow a business, how to create a website, those types of things. But then we also try to, since we believe that we educate the whole boomer women, we try to do things that also have to do with just, you know, being a baby boomer woman, living in the world, trying to do, you know, everything you can to keep your life together. So, you know, the topics really vary, so just make sure you look in your newsletter, and then typically we send three reminders before the teleseminars, and they are monthly. We try to do them on Tuesday evenings. It's not always necessarily the same Tuesday evening. And then the other thing that everyone should know is if you can't be on the call, you will receive a link to the call within a day or two of the call. And then... So what we'll do is send you an email that says, you know, sorry you couldn't be on the call, blah, blah, blah. Here's the link so you can listen at your convenience. Or basically we don't give you the link. We put it on the members-only page is what we do. just to keep it more secure. So then what you do is you go to the members only page and you'll see the most recent teleseminar is typically towards the top. And all you have to do is click on that link and turn the volume up on your computer and you'll hear the seminar in its entirety. And for some people they just can't make a call at this time of the day, so that's what they do. And then the other thing you should know is in addition to this most recent call, all the other teleseminars are backlogged. So whenever you're working online or playing online, you can listen to past teleseminars of interest. So it's just like a little library we have going there. So does anybody else have any other questions? Okay, if there are no more questions, and if anybody's trying to talk and can't be heard, you need to push 6 so that I can hear you. So we'll just try that one more time and make sure there aren't any more questions before we hang up. Okay, I would say then that this concludes this evening's call, and I just want to thank everyone for being on the call, and I apologize for Regina, and I really hope that all of you will say a prayer and send some warm thoughts to her as she recovers from this bronchitis. Okay, thanks again, and have a great evening. Good night.
Thank you.
You're welcome.